Oh, geez, this is a bit heavier than I thought it was.
We're not right near the TV.
Well, I was more worried about you, to be honest.
Oh,
but,
really? Yeah. Oh, well, I have video evidence for any damages that may incur.
But
someone's excited.
I'm very excited.
I wonder why.
Can't imagine why.
I have no idea.
I'm practicing because I need to get in practice. I've only got like a month and a half to get ready.
For what? I don't know what you're talking about.
For the next Zelda game. Tears of the Kingdom. Oh my God, I'm so excited from the gameplay trailer last night.
I actually haven't seen it, so I'm really excited to watch it with you and chat. Hello, Mercurycast and Gamma and, of course, Charlie Girl. How are we doing?
Hi, Charlie.
Duck and run for cover. I should have. I didn't. I didn't even think about it. And then I saw the TV and I was like, something or someone is about to get hit.
I do have a Hylian shield at home, and I thought I'd bring that in there, but I picked up the sword at home and was trying with that and go, there's no way I can only use one hand to hold
it's that. It's so heavy. Mm. Like, that was really deceiving. I was not expecting it to be as heavy picking it up earlier. But
I think
it'd be cool.
If it had, like, a bit longer handle, it might be
might be a bit better.
But yeah. It's definitely got some weight to it.
Yeah, that's so cool. And where do you say you got it? Like,
I bought it from Comic Con or Supernova here from one of the sword sellers.
That's so cool.
At the event. So it was very cool. And hello, White Monkey. How are you going there? Hello, everybody. Hello, a special hello to all our Patreons there that are supporting us for our Patreon. I had another word there. And then thanks.
For Goa,
that's the one. So if you're in chat, you can do !support to join our Patreon. You get a whole heap of stuff. And one of those things is a monthly prize draw, which is being drawn tonight. We have this lovely Crown Zenith box of Pokemon cards. Hello, Gamey Game Face. Welcome in. You're just in time. We're about ready to draw this, I think.
Yes.
Because I think I'm very excited about this. And you can tell I'm excited because we've got this wonderful, wonderful question mark box here.
I've written all the Patreon members' names in here, so they're all ready to go. Folded them, so it should be pretty like shook up in there.
Yeah,
now.
I think we're good. Let's just pull the band-aid off. Hey?
Yeah, I reckon.
Because we got a few of our Patreons in chat at the moment. White Monkey, Gamma, Drifter.
Maybe someone in the chat should tell me when to stop moving my hand.
Yeah,
because someone's got to yell stop.
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 Yep.
Let's go. Hold on, I've lost it. That's a tag.
Oh no,
that's a tag. Hold on. Okay. Oh, wait, I've got something. Wait, no, I dropped it. I got it.
All right. Who have we got?
It is White Monkey.
Oh, congratulations, White Monkey. You have won a Crown Zenith Elite Trainer Box Pokemon. So good Pokemon cards. We will send you a DM in the Discord to get your address and...
I pointed this towards the camera. Like, you can see my little writing on this little piece of paper. But... Awesome. There we go.
So
congratulations.
Good.
These Elite Trainer Boxes are really, really cool.
And you know what? We'll put that back in here because we could save these for next month, for next month's draw.
Yes.
And by the way, we already have next month's prize
as well. We do.
So
let's keep this down here and save.
We'll put that down here. And I think I'm going to have to go behind the lounge because it's big and we had to hide it from view.
Should we do one at a time?
A quick what, sorry?
A one at a time.
A one at a time? Oh, okay. Let's do that. So, if you're watching last week, you would have seen Pete announce that we do have some Lego that we were going to give away. But now you get to see what sets that we've got. And we have Mario Lego Starter Kit.
The starter course you need for any of like the expansions and stuff they've brought out for this. Don't ask me how I know. I just know.
I know because I have them all.
Maybe some people. You do have them.
I have all. I think there's only like one or two of the original sets that I'm missing just because I couldn't find them, and I try to get on them as quick as I can. But
here we go.
So that's one of the sets. Second set, a Peach starter set as well.
I haven't seen the Peach one before.
It's so cool. Like, Peach is the most recent starter set they had, and they released Peach's Castle and Cloud and Icy sort of stuff.
That's so cool.
But wait, there's more.
There's more.
I'm unlocking the inner Demtel man in me, for those of you old enough to get that remark. We have a Luigi starter set as well.
Now, this one I have seen. This is really cool because it also has a pink Yoshi.
It's so cool. Like, all the Luigi's Mansion sets were just really, really cool.
So cool. I only really remember when the Mario course first came out.
Because, like, there was all the big announcement about... Like, I feel like And Luigi had a little bit of an announcement with it, but like the Peach one kind of didn't. But there is one more set as well, and that is actually Peach's castle.
Oh, I haven't seen this either. Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to move it here so everyone can see the front of it. But this is so cool. So, like, for those who don't know, because obviously we've got these starter courses, how does it work? Like, why do you need, like, I mean, I know, but maybe let people in chat who maybe don't know, why do you need the starter course to play, like, something like this?
So each of the starter courses has the Mario or the Peach or the Luigi figure, and they've got a little barcode scanner on the bottom of it. So when you get the enemies in there, they all have a little barcode reader on it, and the Marios or the little figures can jump on these things and your figure will give off a sound effect.
Oh, and cool. So,
and even,
'cause it's got a screen on their like belly or something, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it is really, really cool. And God, whoever wins this on our next month's Patreon draw is
in for a treat.
So lucky with this. White Monkey, I don't know the answer to if you're allowed to win next month as well, but I'm going to say yes, because as long as you're still a Patreon for next month, I don't see why you can't win again.
Yeah, sure, that sounds good. Yeah. We'll find out. We'll confirm for you, I reckon.
Yeah. But congratulations again, White Monkey, on winning the Crown Zenith Elite Trainer Box there.
It's nice and safe down here. Yeah. Don't you worry.
That's it. And if you do want to be in the draw to win the lovely Mario Lego sets we got here, including poor Luigi, who's just like on the floor there.
Sorry, I didn't know I can't position.
We could just put him.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep the order together.
He was a little brother that was being forgotten again, on the floor. He's Green Mario. That's who he is.
Green Mario.
Yeah. But yes, if you would like to go in the draw for our new Lego prize for our Patreon prize of the month, go and sign up to our Patreon account. You get that. You get your logo on the screen behind us. So all these people, all these avatars coming up is our current Patreon members. And if you sign up to the tier 3, you will get an exclusive merch drop just for our level 3 Patreons, which is in the works at the moment. It's a special bit with a special bit of artwork that's being designed by our Discord member June Hagar as well.
Very exciting. And yes, the command is !support.
Oh, yeah,
Charlie Golf.
Who would have thought that a command for Patreon would be support instead of Patreon? You know? Should blame the person that made that command.
I'm being accused of squishing the Luigi box. Why would I ever do that?
So, they are a little bit squished and
not this one. The Luigi one's fine.
Yeah, the tops of them have been bent a little bit in transit, but all the Lego is still fine. That's it.
I'm not squishing anything.
No, we're not squishing the Pokemon.
Why am I getting picked on?
RSPCA gets onto you if you squish the Pokemon.
Oh, no, not the Pokemon. Well, what's been happening?
Oh, gee, I wonder. Let's have a chat.
I don't think anything important happened last night. Does chat know of anything important in the gaming scene happened last night? Because I don't know,
I feel a wrestling move coming on with this
keyboard. Oh my god, right? I'm being threatened with a keyboard as we speak.
But I think I am very, very, very excited because like Tears of the Kingdom, next Legend of Zelda game, is only, what is it now, about 6 weeks away?
Yeah. Jeez, it'll be about 6 weeks, which is getting really close actually.
It really is. And last night we had the producer of the Legend of Zelda series. My tongue just doesn't work. I'm that excited at the moment. But yes, the producer of the Legend of Zelda series, Aonuma, I always stuff up his first name, so I'm not even going to try. But he released a gameplay trailer that showed 10 minutes of gameplay from the new game. And I'd say, like, starting to look at, we'll bring it up and we'll have a look at.
Please show me, because I actually haven't seen it, only because I was streaming last night, so I didn't get to watch it.
But it is so good. So if you have a look at it, and if you've played the game before, you would, having a look at it, the field looks a little bit different, but...
Did you have a ride before?
Yeah. You had a horse before.
See, that's... I haven't really played the first one, so...
Yeah, so the horse was there, but one of the new things is the Sky Islands. We are seeing them now, seeing the Sky Islands... But one of the more interesting things you'll see coming up soon is this new ability called Recall. And what excites me about this and all these new abilities is because, we were talking before the show about how the Breath of the Wild engine was just magnificent, from things like how electricity conducts. There was a clip I saw of someone in the, I think it was Varnaboris, the divine beast in the desert, and there was an electricity puzzle in there where you needed to get two electrical balls and put them in their sockets. Well, he's lost one of the balls, it's gone over the edge, gone, yeeted, see you later. But he's laid down metal weapons from the other magnetic ball to the other slot it's supposed to go in, and it's worked. So,
Awesome. Like just, that level of detail that's gone into it is really cool.
And I feel like looking at the video from last night, it's got me really excited because so much of what Tears of the Kingdom looks like is they've added to that engine with stuff that combines. So, and by that, I mean, you can combine weapons with other things.
Oh, cool.
You can build vehicles pretty much in this now. So it was one thing that a lot of people looked at in the last trailer where there was a vehicle that Link was riding. And now we see that you actually build that yourself in game.
Okay, that's cool.
So
is the UI pretty similar to the first one from
it
what
is.
You can see here? Is there any like noticeable differences?
There is a little bit of a difference. You can't really see it at the moment because of how much detail is on the mini map.
Okay.
But it has like your XYZ coordinates on there, which the other one you actually had to go into the map to see.
All right, you've got it on the screen now.
Yeah.
Cool.
And there's other little bits and pieces, like you obviously don't have the Sheikah Slate anymore. Sheikah Slate is
you can say it. It's been long enough.
It's I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, but it's basically just your tool. It looks like a mini switch, and it has your map on it, and controls all your abilities that you get too.
But he doesn't need it in this one now.
No. So so the UI has changed a little bit from that. But this footage that if you're watching live now on twitch.tv/gameonoz, he's got a leaf. A branch that he's been using to fight with.
Okay.
And if you know anything about Breath of the Wild, it's got a weapon durability system. And a tree branch is one of the worst things you can get. But he has just combined it with a rock and increased its durability and increased its attack.
Oh.
So this is what I was saying about how they've built this engine to combine things now.
Yeah.
So
that
this usability for the weapons.
Now he's whacking it with the tree branch.
Oh,
man, the strength that tree branch has, the faith it has in that rock to not keep it from snapping, I'm impressed.
But it goes a bit further than that, and a bit further on in the video you see that he combines this big long stick with a pitchfork and just creates this stupidly long weapon to use as well.
That's cool.
And also he goes on to combine arrows with like ice chews. Yeah, that's the big long weapon.
Oh my God.
Combined it with a pitchfork. And so he's basically taped the pitchfork onto the end of the big stick that he's got. And it's ridiculously big.
Oh, look at the range on that thing.
It's crazy. And so once again, if you're looking at the video now, you're looking at fusing arrows with the various monster parts and whatnot. So like there's white chew jelly, which is like little blobby things you kill, you'll get those and you pick them up.
And you can use it in your attacks.
Yeah, so you can fuse it to your arrows.
Oh,
and
what?
That particular one freezes enemies.
That's so cool.
And there's one about to come up that fuses an arrow with an eye that you get from killing bats.
Yeah.
And it homes in on enemies.
Oh.
So that was one of the big things that people were wondering in the last trailer, because that got shown happening in the last trailer, but didn't know that this fusibility was involved in doing it. And it's just...
Oh, is this what they're going to show now?
Yeah. Yeah. So they combine it with the Keese eyeball and all of a sudden, bang, it just goes off.
Oh, that's so good.
But one thing that I want to show off before we go too far is this building mechanic. So that's a little bit too far. So in the video, they talk about seeing there's this big thing of water you got to get across. Link doesn't have enough stamina to get there.
Yeah.
And there's this ability called Ultra Hand, which you can stick stuff together with. So in the video, you'll see him build a raft and put two fans on the back as engines. And just this whole thing about building stuff and sticking stuff together, it just has me very excited for what you can do in it.
That's really cool. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe this is the older sibling mindset coming in here. But I feel like for young gamers, like for kids, that problem solving aspect, well, I mean,
yeah,
God, I'm 25. That problem solving aspect is going to be really, really fun to muck around with. Because I guess the possibilities are somewhat endless in terms of what you can create. I think that's really, really cool. Because I, in my mind, obviously, I haven't really played the first one. I thought this was just going to be just more of the same. But I'm actually really impressed with the level of detail they've gone into to really give you more control over, I guess, like, you know, your weapons and the way that you maneuver throughout the map. I think that's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, it is amazingly cool. And just seeing what people will be able to come up with in this. And you know what? I reckon the idea for this came from, in Breath of the Wild, you can get balloons that you can attach to stuff. And so I reckon Nintendo have seen people doing that and gone, you know what? We could just build a whole game around this.
Yeah, we'll just give them free reign.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just, it's extremely exciting and it's just made me want the game
even
more.
That's so clever.
There is one more ability, and got shown off in the trailer, the original trailer a little bit, called Ascend. So basically, if you've got something that has a ceiling, you can dive through the ceiling. So that's what's happening now, and he's come out the top. So yeah, anywhere that has a ceiling, you can just go straight up through it.
Okay. That's interesting. Why? Like what, like in what, in what, in like, I think I genuinely want to know, in what instances, I mean, obviously apart from like in the very little part of what I played of Breath of the Wild, one of my worst enemies was climbing up the side of a mountain and not being able to have the energy to make it to the top.
I think
this is to help.
Yeah, I think that's in response to that, and particularly when it starts raining and the surface has become slippery. So I think that's a little bit about that. But it also, like, thinking about Breath of the Wild, there isn't really that many caves. So I think that it's...
They're like caves with a purpose, you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon that's what it'll be. It'll be caves with a purpose and maybe a shortcut to be able to get up. But I'm also kind of anticipating, like, there'll be a big outcropping and you have to go up in a certain spot and you'll hit, like, an inside grotto type thing that you can only access. I reckon that'll be fun.
There'll be like secret like sections within.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking. And I'm very excited. Like, oh my God. I was already thinking about booking the day off when this came out, but
really?
I'm just going to book the week off.
Really?
The week after. And like, I'll have hockey on the Saturday. It's just like, no hockey. I'm playing Zelda. Thanks.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah. But that
you've
is,
all done it. Like, they shake your head at us.
Yeah, I have never done it, and if work asked me, I that is my line, and I am sticking to it.
White Monkey's like, no way you could survive that fall that he just had.
It's video games. If you dive into, you know, from any height into water, you're fine.
You're fine.
Yeah, because like,
or from, hay bale or something like that.
That's it.
You're fine.
Exactly. But I will say, just quickly, the presentation didn't end here. Because once again, I am like, I'm super excited. There is a Tears of the Kingdom Switch and I already have it pre-ordered. When I woke up this morning, I made sure, like I was refreshing EB Games website last night. Just going, maybe somebody's awake or maybe they put it on a timer so I can pre-order it.
Yeah.
But, it didn't, but I got to pre-order it when I woke up this morning. Along with the Tears of the Kingdom
case
and the Pro Controller.
You got both?
Yeah.
Oh,
so now I
God.
Have everything Tears of the Kingdom on pre-order because I've got the game and the Collector's Edition and the Amiibo that's coming with it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be out so much money come 12th of May.
Look, I totally understand where you're coming from there. We'll talk about it later, but after the Resident Evil 4 Collectors, which I have some thoughts and feelings about, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
I saw this and I was like, this is a really good looking Switch console. I swear, though, at some point earlier in the year or last year, I posed the question to you about if they did a special. I've got to go through the archives. I remember saying to you, if they did one, would you do it? And you were like, No, there's not like there's no point. But
I am a man of many different tastes and varied opinions, and I am allowed to change my mind when I want to.
That's fair. I think I saw your screenshots on Twitter, and I was like, God damn it! And I was like, he only went and did it.
I did it. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
But yes, no. Very much looking forward to that, and very much looking forward to playing. Breath of the Wild 2. No,
don't
Tears
worry.
Of the Kingdom.
I've still been doing that. Yeah. Like, it's been long enough. I need to stop calling it Breath of the Wild 2.
Well, and you know the funny thing, Nintendo never called it Breath of the Wild 2. They called it the sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
because they knew from the beginning.
Everyone else just called it Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, that's right.
BOTW 2. Yeah.
And just by the way, White Monkey, I have plenty of willpower. It's the won't power I don't have.
The won't power. Yeah. Before we get into our next thing, I'm going to quickly fact check something that's up there. But you can go ahead and do what you're doing. I don't want you to think I'm just texting and going. I'm going, oh my God, Jim, guess what Jim did? Jim did blah, blah, blah. Jim got the collector's edition. What a silly goose. Oh my God, what a liar. Cancelled.
I am not, I don't feel peer pressure. I will do what I do, and there is nothing anybody can do to stop me. Just ask my parents. Yeah. But yeah, no, super excited about it. I can't wait to see the collector's edition as well. And it's funny because the Switch model actually got leaked back in February. And like when I was Google searching stuff to do a bit of research about it, the article came up that said, oh yeah, cool, yeah, this was leaked back in February, because there was a reasonable leak of some stuff. Like,
yes, I feel like I remember mentioning it to you about the OLED maybe way back at some point, and you were like, nah.
White Monkey, no, it is not. It is mine, and you cannot have it. It is not going to be
the Patreon
prize.
No,
definitely not. It's going in my collection of Legend of Zelda stuff. Like, I've got the boxes aren't the best, but I've got like boxed copies of Zelda 1 and 2 on the Nintendo, and I've got. I think the my pride and joy is I have an NTSC copy of Four Swords Adventure on the GameCube. So that was one where it made use of the link cable to the Game Boy Advance. So and when you went down into tunnels on the game, it moved to the Game Boy Advance screen, which was really cool. Because that was the Four Swords series is the multiplayer Zelda.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. Sometimes you'd be on the TV, sometimes you'd be on the little handheld. Is so good, so good. But also I have a GameCube copy of Twilight Princess, because that came out at the end of the GameCube, beginning of the Wii. It launched on the Wii, so most people got it on the Wii, because in the waggle controls, it was a novel thing to
have it and to be able to use it. But
and then when nobody really bought it on the GameCube, so that's a hard one to find sometimes. And I am very happy to have a copy there. How'd your fact checking go?
It's true.
Oh wow. So we're gonna move on to our next news story, because this is what we were fact checking. Originally it started, I think, yesterday. Ubisoft announced that they'd pulled out of E3.
Yep.
Which honestly I'm not all that surprised, and it's not as if they're not doing something around it, because I think E3 goes the 12th to the 16th of July, June or July, and Ubisoft are doing a Ubisoft Forward on the 11th.
Yeah.
So they're doing something around there, just not at E3.
Yeah.
E3 0.3, you're right there, Charlie. But then we heard today that Sega has also pulled out, and as we were talking here, the lovely Charlie Golf up the back here has written on our whiteboard, and now confirmed by Stormy, Devolver have pulled out of E3. And to me, that's a big blow.
Yeah, they said they'll be at the Summer Games Fest, but they won't be at E3, which is, we were talking about this briefly. We've talked about it briefly before. I don't mind them doing their own things or being part of Summer Games Fest or having State of Play or having their own stuff. Yeah. But like, what's E3 now?
It's nothing. It's really. And look, my opinion on things like those expos that you go to and you see all the games, really, I think at the moment they only really suit indie devs, because the big companies that have the marketing budget to do their own thing and they'll do their forwards, they'll do their directs, they'll do their state of plays, and whatever the Xbox one's called, I can't remember that.
I feel like it's the Xbox Game Showcase or something like that. I'm going to look it up because that's going to annoy me. I've been thinking about that for an hour.
But they've got the resources to do that, and they've got the resources to send people to places. And for them as well, it means that they can make a highly curated thing. Like, I'll never forget, we've got Shigeru Miyamoto on stage presenting Skyward Sword, because you needed the Wii Motion Plus, which was like an upgraded motion sensor.
I remember that Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah. Well, Shigeru Miyamoto couldn't get it working properly. And this is the tech demo to show everybody that this is easy. Anybody can do it. And now when you do it, a pre-recorded thing, it's very, very highly scrutinized before it goes to air. It's and you know, the presentation that Aonuma did last night for Tears of the Kingdom, like, they're sitting there going, Aonuma's playing this. I don't think he was playing that.
Yeah.
I think he did the intro and he picked up the controller and then they cut to somebody else.
Playing. Well, I mean, like you talking about the Motion Plus is like the live demo is a good example of a demo not going great. But did you see the one recently, the live mocap that was being done with Unreal Engine?
No.
With this, the Hellblade actress?
It was for the next Hellblade.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was done live on stage, and like they literally used like an iPhone or something to capture her performance. Mm. And within like 2 minutes, not even, they had like a full like CGI.
That is cool.
And it was really good. I don't know if anyone else has seen that, but that's like an example of like a live demo done right.
Yeah, it's very cool and very scary, because I look at that from a security point of view, and then you think about deep fakes, and if you've got enough of somebody's face there, and all of a sudden you're basically translating somebody else in real time to be them, that's a little scary for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's cool tech.
But it's cool.
It's cool tech.
That's cool.
If used in the right way. And I think that's probably where some of these bigger companies look at it and go, well, if we can do that and not have to worry about doing these big shows where something could go wrong, let's do something where we know that nothing is going to go wrong.
Mm.
For them, I think that's a much bigger...
And just have it heavily curated and like edited that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it makes for that smoother presentation, but then I feel like in general as viewers, we're kind of wary of, you know, this is just... A demo, you know, a demo of their choosing of how they present it. You know what I mean?
It's a very interesting thing, and I think to be honest, like we're seeing with Devolver pulling out, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo have said that they weren't going, and Sega pulling out. Those ones I can sort of go, yeah, cool, no worries. But the big one for me is Devolver pulling out,
because
them pulling out at E3. With the pool they've got in the indie space, because I think that indies will be the driver of expos like this going forward, because they're the ones that need people to get hands-on with their game. They're the people that may not have the reputation that these bigger studios do for quality. So they want to get people playing their game and seeing their game. So an indie publisher like Devolver pulling out is a bigger thing to me than Ubisoft and Sega.
Yeah, well, this will be interesting. What's even left
for
E3? I feel like we know a lot of who's not there at E3, but who's actually there now?
I don't know. Let's have a look. That's probably an article somewhere. Who is
actually at E3? Who's actually going to be at E3? Who's actually going to rock up to E3 this year?
Except I can't read from this distance. No, that's Ubisoft's no longer attending. No, I want to know who's there, not who's not there.
Drifter said Tencent pulled out too, right?
Oh, it was a division of Tencent, because that was in one of...
What was it called? Infinite?
Infinite something or other. Come on.
I didn't bring my glasses.
I thought I'd zoomed in far enough, but obviously I haven't. Or was it this next one?
Yeah, I knew it wasn't strictly just Tencent. It was like a division.
Tencent's Level Infinite.
Infinite. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So I was half right. I got half of the name right. Yeah.
So let's have a look and see if we can sort out who's going. Not really. The Summer Games Fest there, I think. That's on the...
Well, oh, Xbox Game Showcase. That's what it's called. Xbox and Bethesda.
That might be the only thing that Xbox are doing there.
Wait, is this all official? Ubisoft's there.
I was
going to
say, this must be an old one.
Yeah. The Future Game Show, Wholesome Games.
Yeah.
These are all the old ones. So, yeah, I guess not many are there now.
I think for years, E3 has been on the decline because we have to draw the distinction between a consumer show and a trade show. And for years, E3 was the consumer the trade show, where the journalists would go and they'd get hands-on with the games and stuff like that. But things have changed. Things were already changing. COVID really pushed it to change from the point of view that people do online events a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Kaiju Kai, thank you so much for that sub. 24 months, 2 years as a sub.
Happy 2 years. I was going to say happy birthday. And I was like, that's
happy sub day.
Happy subscriber second. Anyway.
Things were already moving digitally, and then COVID pushed it a lot digitally. And we've worked out that, places have worked out that they don't need to go to events to do it. It's going to be the consumer events like the PAXs that keep going, because they've worked out a long time ago that it's what people want to see, and it's not just games, which, you know, games are great, but they want to see their friends, they want the panels, they want
the physical presence.
Yeah, they want the esports tournaments that are there. So I think that they've worked out that gaming is a section of what they're doing, but they've got so much more that they're doing.
Yeah.
That they've latched onto that. So I think it's going to be very hard for E3 to come through with it. And poor old Reed Pop there that are left holding the bag organizing it. It's not going to be pleasant for them.
I guess we'll just wait and see what other news comes out of E3.
Yeah, exactly.
If there is any news left to come out of E3.
Well, it'll be interesting because it's still a couple of months off.
Yeah, it's so, June, right?
Yeah, so that's probably why we're hearing this now, because the deadlines are looming for...
We're almost in April, so...
Yeah, that's why, because it's all deadlines hitting up and people are going, we don't really want to go, but... Yeah, like I said, Devolver pulling out of that—that's huge. It's not going to be good. Not going to be good for E3. But you know what is good? Aussie Broadband.
Aussie Broadband's very good.
Yeah, they are very, very good, and I cannot wait to see what you're playing tonight for bloody good game of the week. And
yes, I wish I could show you.
I'm kind of hoping, because So, all right, so we have the game here, and it's been installing while we've been talking on the Xbox.
Now it's just ready to start. Can you?
It's not letting me go down. So give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
And let me.
Kai. It's not The Last of Us. Also, how is The Last of Us? Before we get into the bloody good game of the week, has anyone been playing The Last of Us on PC? Because I don't know about you, Jim, but I've heard some very questionable stuff about how that's running.
Yes, I have heard some not good things as well. Okay, for some reason, my Xbox... Oh. Okay, it's settled now. I have not heard some good things about that, about The Last of Us Part 1 coming out on PC. And look, the game that we want to play is saying ready to start, but it is not starting. You know what? We might just have to talk about this.
That's
one,
okay.
I think.
Should
I know,
we get it up on the screen?
I think we will. So just give me a second. So do you want to do a bit of an intro about it?
I don't think this will come as anyone's surprise as to what my bloody good game of the week is this week. For those who have been following my social media, I feel like this past week, it's all I've been talking about and haven't shut up about is the Resident Evil 4 remake, which I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying. You're right, it's Resident Evil 4. I think, I'm one of those people that's like, okay, until I have the game in my hands, I want to make my own decision about it. But already on Friday, when we have reviews and stuff coming out, everyone was raving about how good it was. So obviously, I was quite hyped. And the game has not disappointed. It is so, so good. Give it 2 seconds so you can see how gorgeous this game is.
I need to... Hang on, I'm going to have to stand up and do this.
No, that's
my
fine.
My eyesight is not good enough.
Resident Evil 4, for those who haven't played, is set after the events of Raccoon City in Resident Evil 2. And basically, Leon is sent to some undisclosed, unknown part of Europe, and he needs to go save the president's daughter, Ashley. And it is very, very, very fun. And I think what I really like about it, for those who are new to the franchise, if you enjoyed Resident Evil Village, I think you're going to really like this.
Sorry, I just realized that I'm...
right in the screen?
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of everything. Give me 2 seconds. Ah, come back.
Yeah, I think if you liked Resident Evil Village and you liked that element of exploration and puzzle and things like that, I think you'll thoroughly enjoy Resident Evil 4. I don't really think you have to play the other ones to enjoy this one, but I, as someone who's played the original, watching some of like the old scenes or the old sections that I played and come to life in like a really fresh and modern way is so, so good. Because we've often had debates about remakes and remasters and things like that, and I've obviously had my strong feelings about Resident Evil as a fan of the game, but I think what I really admire about the Resident Evil remakes is that they do go out of their way to fine-tune those things that maybe didn't work in the original and just kind of take them to the next level in a way that's modern.
That's awesome.
White Monkey said, James from another publication who's been an RE fan, hated the original 4 but loved the remake. James is actually one of my best friends. And it's been really fun because like he's gone and speed run it on like professional level.
Oh, nice.
Which is crazy. And I don't think I'll ever get to that point because at this stage, I think there's 16 chapters and I'm on chapter 8. Chapter 8 or 10? No, it's somewhere around there. I'm like about halfway or so through. And it's like still got a few good scares in there. There's some elements that I played last night. For those who don't know, I hate things that run at me. And if you don't like things that run at you, maybe just consider that before you pick up some sections of this game. Because I was about to have a heart attack. I may have not been here today. I was absolutely peeing my pants. But it's good. It's good. Because like what they've done as well is... throughout the village, like there's different contracts you'll pick up, and like contracts are basically like little side missions, but they're very bite-sized and very achievable. Yeah. So like while you're doing this big main story, you might have to find, it'll be like 10 blue medallions, and it might be hidden on a roof somewhere, or it might be hidden like in certain areas of a building. And it's actually not too hard to find them because they show them on your mini-map as well, so there's a bit of a guide.
Yeah,
so it's very achievable, and it's not like they're trying to test you to find them and you're not walking around aimlessly going, where are they? Like, there's a good element of assistance there without it being hand-holdy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Charlie Goff has a very good point here. What about their fun mini-games? How are you liking their mini-games?
Yeah, But, okay, so there's a bit of context to this. So in the game, you have a character called the Merchant, who's very similar to the Duke from Resident Evil 8. And basically, the Merchant is there to like sell you items. You can buy items from him, trade stuff, things like that. And with the Merchant also comes, in certain sections of the game, a mini game room. And it's basically like a shootout situation. It's kind of like when you're at like a fair, like a fun fair, and you'll have things pop up and you've got to shoot them as quickly as you can, get the best score possible, all of that kind of stuff. I don't often like to 100% stuff, but this little fun fair shootout situation that I found myself in last Friday night when I was streaming it, I ended up spending 40 minutes trying to 100% one level. You were there.
Mm.
Charlie Golf had already gone to bed. I think you were already sick of me persisting with it. And it was painful. It was really tricky because, like, I could easily hit all the targets normally. But on some of the targets, you had the special skull icon and you had to hit it directly on their body. Now, there was one bit, like, because obviously the pop-ups are coming, like the targets are coming in different distances. There's one target that's right at the back and it flies across the screen really fast. And that one messed me up so many times. And it was literally the last one. And I was telling you before, I've been making a edit for YouTube of this particular section of the game. And it's just me swearing and missing and slowly starting to lose my mind.
I'm picturing like a Yosemite Sam, rackin',
That's basically what it is. And me like looking like I'm about to throw something, but trying not to throw something and compose myself. But yeah, like there's a good mix of action. They've kept in some like corny lines from
Resident Evil 4.
No, it's not that. Actually, you know what? In saying that, Ashley isn't as bad dialogue wise. She's just annoying that she can't do anything and gets captured by all these enemies and stuff that are going around. That's really annoying. It's basically like part of it turns into like an escort mission.
Escort missions, the bane of my existence.
Yeah, and like because I mean, she's the president's daughter and she doesn't fight or anything. She just gets picked up by the enemy and you hear her screaming at you to go get her and you're like, "Oh." And you're like, you know, fit her any other way. And you're like, oh, I'll get you. She's really annoying. There's a really iconic scene that's at the beginning of the game, which I wish we got through tonight, but I don't think we're going to be able to. After you do the first big fight in this village, there's a church bell that goes off. And then all the enemies stop fighting and they head towards the church.
Oh.
And then Leon goes, "Where's everyone going?" Bingo. And it's so corny. Like Resident Evil 4, like the original, was so full of corny jokes and stuff and corny lines. And they kept some of them in this game, which I love. I love a little bit of corny. I did just finish Devil May Cry recently, and that is very corny. I don't think I'll get any cornier or weirder than that game. But this one still has, like, a lot of the heart of the original, but just makes it almost feel like a whole new experience what you see on the screen. Because you're looking at this, and I wish I could show you like a side-by-side comparison of the original one. It's like night and day. I don't think you can ever go back to the original.
So I do want to talk about the differences between the remake and the original, just as we say hello to Mr. Mumble, welcome in chat, Fat Gamer. Thank you for dropping in and saying hello. But yeah, I'm just curious because it's a remake. So how different is it? The puzzles different? Is it like super different in the map layouts and stuff like that?
Yeah, for the most part, like the very bare bones, I guess, of the game are the same in terms of, I would say, like I've only played the original once and it was a couple of years ago, so you're testing my memory a bit. A lot of the maps or certain sections look familiar and actually like where I can go, oh yeah, this is the part where this happens or something like that. But it's different enough that you feel like you're in a new environment because they have made some creative changes or differences to the style. So it doesn't feel like a carbon copy, I guess, of the original.
Yeah, I feel if you need to make changes, otherwise it's just a graphical upraise.
Well, I think that's why the Resident Evil remakes were particularly two. Not many people like three, but I like it and we'll leave it at that. Otherwise we'll be here all night. But I think what Resident Evil remakes have done so well is the fact that they have been able to, again, like kind of keep the heart of the originals, but then not just be a total duplicate of itself. And, you know, they've got Nick Apostolides, who played Leon in the Resident Evil 2 remake, back as this Leon, which I think is really, really cool. Just you know, for fans, I think that was just fun to see him back in that role because a lot of people loved him in the 2 remake. But yeah, so far so good. Really enjoying it. A lot of iconic boss fights and stuff have been fun to go through again in just a new way. Things look more terrifying, obviously, compared to, I think this came out 2004, the original.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, obviously a lot of things look and just feel very different.
Just a little bit of technological change.
Just a little bit. And I'm trying not to be too biased, but the RE engine at this game and like Devil May Cry 5, the special edition ran on, is just unbelievable. It's absolutely gorgeous. And again, I think if anyone's looking to pick up Resident Evil, any Resident Evil game at some point, I think this one's definitely worth picking up because you don't have to play the other ones to play this. And there's a lot of exploration and fun to be had. And they divvied it up into chapters, which I don't think they did in the original one. So at least you can have little bite-sized pieces of game to play through at a time.
Oh, that's good.
Or you get carried away like me and play until 3 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah, no, I am also prone to do that, especially if there's no like clear spot to leave things in.
Yes, I find that too. Are you the same? Where unless there's a clear checkpoint or a clear end zone?
Or a clear like safe spot. Like, because there was one thing, I was playing the Diablo 4 beta on the weekend because I had never really played a Diablo game before. And I thought, oh, I'll give this a go.
What'd you think? I
liked it. I was playing a Necromancer, so I like summoning all my little skeletal buddies and let them do the fighting. So, but yeah, that I found with that, like, I would go, all right, well, let's go through this area. It seems like a small area. Then it turned into a big area, and I was just like, well, I don't want to leave this until I get back to a town because I'm not sure how saving works in this and whether if I leave the game, if I'll end up back in this same spot or what.
It is easier to get sidetracked in this game, but when you know there are clear points of, like, points of interest or points to stop, it does make it a little bit easier to kind of, you know, take a step back for a little bit if you need to. And it's good that you can come back to some of these older sections at certain points as well, so that definitely helps. But thanks, Aussie Broadband, for having us present our bloody good game of the week, which is definitely Resident Evil 4. You all should go pick it up.
Absolutely. So what platform are you playing it on?
I'm playing on the Xbox Series X because I got the collector's edition. I vaguely mentioned that earlier. Unfortunately, the price of things in general have gone up, so I think I ended up paying like another $200 more for virtually the same thing that I got in Resident Evil Village Collector's Edition. In hindsight, I think I still would have bought it. I was hoping I'd say different.
You're like me with my Zelda stuff.
Well, look, you have your Zelda thing, and like I really wanted like an official Leon Resident Evil statue. The one I have now, I got as a gift from a friend, is great, but trying to get a hold of the official Collector's Edition statue from 2 is really, really expensive. Yeah. So I've got the next closest thing. So I thought, look, if I can have an official Leon, I'm going to get him.
Nice.
And, you know, there's art book, steel bookcase, all that stuff looks gorgeous.
All the good stuff.
All the goodies. And I can't wait to see all of your stuff.
Oh,
you get,
mate, I no word of a lie. I'm even thinking of, like, picking up and coming here and doing, like, an unboxing video.
Do it. I did that for the Collector's Edition RE4. And it's good fun and you can kind of, like, show off the stuff because not everyone's going to be lucky enough to get to have one of those switches.
Exactly.
People love watching that stuff.
Cool. So we're getting towards the end of the show, but Mr. Mumble did redeem some channel points here to talk about hobbies. And you know what?
What is this redeem? I've actually never seen it.
So it's kind of a holdover from when we used to do gaming streams on here. So it would be for, because Ghost is one of the Game On Oz stream team. So when we used to have people streaming different nights and playing games. But no, we've left it in. And I would like to talk about this because you may have seen here, and Mr. Mumble just said, yes, that's a lot of Mario right there.
It is a lot of Mario.
It's a lot of Mario Lego. So I'm going to talk about Lego, because I absolutely adore Lego, and I have so much of the Mario stuff. It is so fun to play with, and just the way it is all goes together, and just you can make a course out of it. So they come with like little long bits, like two wide, right, and you can just connect all the different bits together.
Oh, nice! So you can make like one. Like big course.
That's it.
So, oh, cool.
And so you can make like Peach's Castle and have that all together and link it through to one of the other Mario sets, like Luigi's Mansion, and then because there was the Bowser's Castle one as well. So you've got like the red long bits to link all the lava bits together. It is so much fun. And if you two like Lego and like these Lego Mario sets in particular, we've got the Luigi starter set, the Peach starter set, Mario starter set, and Peach's Castle here. You can win this because this is our next monthly prize draw for our Patreons here. So if you exclamation mark support in chat, you'll get the link to join our Patreon. Sign up there and you'll go into the monthly prize draw with all our other Patreons. So many lovely, lovely people that have signed up for there. You can win this because tonight we did our first draw. Mm-hmm. White Monkey won our Pokemon Elite Trainer Box.
Really exciting.
Very
it's
exciting.
It's still nice and safe for anyone who's telling me that I'm stealing it. I'm not.
I'm still, confession. Still sealed as well, that box of cards, by the way.
I've actually never built my own Lego before.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, and I just bought my first ever Lego set like a month or two ago. I would really like a really big one one day, but I thought, look, I've got these two little kittens. I need something that I can have somewhere maybe out of reach. So I bought one of those flower bouquet ones, which was really cool. So I'm excited, but I would love to have like my own geeky Lego set.
And so, and some of the other sets that they've got for Mario Lego as well, like there's a question mark box, but it's a Super Mario 64 one, but it opens up and unfolds.
I've seen that.
And it's got like four courses from Super Mario 64, and it is so bloody cool.
And there's a really big Bowser one, I think, as well. Yeah. I don't know how big he gets.
He's like about this big.
Okay, that's pretty impressive.
I also have that one.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Mr. Mumble said, love you guys for your information. Aww, we love you too.
Thank you.
Mr. Mumble said, I have 2 90-liter containers of Lego and no Mario. What's wrong with you?
Like, and
no Mario.
And here's the thing about the Mario Lego too, though, because most Lego sets are sort of designed. You build them and they sit there. They're done. And that's it. They sit on the shelf. But these ones, they're designed to be played with. Like we mentioned earlier, the figures in these kits have a barcode reader on the bottom of it. So they you jump on things like the enemies in it. You'll see like this Luigi set. It's got a boom boom. It's got like a ghostly Goomba type thing. Even the question mark block, they've got barcodes on them. And your little figure jumps on them. And if there's like a coin block, you'll get the coin sound. You'll get the enemy sounds when you jump on them. It's aww, just, and even like, because they all start in a pipe.
Yeah.
And you scan the pipe and you get the dooka 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 sort of sound effect.
Cool.
It's really cool. But yeah, if you want to be in with a chance to win this, jump on our Patreon.
Yep. Get onto it and then we'll draw it next month. And that'll be really fun to see who gets to go home with some new Lego. I'm kind of jealous.
I know. And you know, I did ask Pete the other week, we can't enter. Like, we can't go sign up for the Patreon and get this stuff, which I was very disappointed about. I really wanted to.
It's all right, next time. Maybe we should do a stream that has, like, a Lego building.
Ooh. Yeah. Mm. I think we can do that.
Yeah.
We'll just, there's a Star Wars one coming out soon that I'm going to get.
God.
So
which one?
It's the Superstar Destroyer Executor. But it's before anybody gets, like, ideas about how big it's going to be. It's only a $100 set, so it's not going to be
huge. I thought you were talking like UCS level.
Oh, no. I do have that Star Destroyer, though, that's like the $1,000 Star Destroyer. It took me a week to put it together, and that was like a week solid of working on it. It was so good.
That's
so
intense.
Much fun.
You could leave go and be eligible. I love Lego,
No, I like doing this show.
I think I like doing this too.
Like doing Lego. Besides, I've already got all these sets.
Okay, no. You have to brag. Like, no.
I'll brag. I like my Lego. I love my Lego. And if they ever release Legend of Zelda Lego, watch out.
Oh, you're absolutely done for. You have to probably build a whole other room where you're living and just have cabinets.
I said this before. I built new shelves in my streaming room at home because I needed more shelving space, and they're already full. I have no room for extra stuff. But anyway, but thank you everybody for watching. It's been a pleasure talking everything. I'm super excited for Zelda and a little bit worried about E3, but we'll get through that. Thank you so much to Aussie Broadband for the bloody good games of the week, and I think that'll be about it.
Because
I'm sure you want to get home and play more Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, yes. I've got a lot of gameplay to sift through from my last few streams. Like, doing a 6-hour stream, I don't recommend. After a full day of work, don't recommend it. But you know what? It was worth it. It was so worth it. Make sure you check out any of our stories and reviews on GameOnOz.com. And obviously, if you want to listen to any of our previous podcasts or watch any of them, make sure you check out our channels as well. Mm-hmm. But thanks to everyone for tuning in. Anyone that's subscribed and resubscribed to the Twitch channel as well. And like you said, if you want a chance to win our next monthly draw, make sure you check out our Patreon page.
And White Monkey knows exactly where it is. As we go away, don't forget to save.